If you distill Joe Frazier's lifetime of punches down to one, that sledgehammer left hook on March 8, 1971 was as crushing and symbolic as any.
Time is important here.
It put his bitter rival, Muhammad Ali, on his float-like-a-butterfly-sting-like-a-bee keister at Madison Square Garden.
He takes the mandatory 8-count, the only knockdown of the fight.
The punch, which clinched victory over Ali in the so-called fight of the century, started around Joe Frazier's left hip, but its origins stretch back a couple of decades to segregated South Carolina, where a young boy from a sharecropping family, Frazier was about 8, fashioned a punching bag out of a burlap sack stuffed with rags and corn cobs and Spanish moss. By Frazier's own estimation, he slugged that thing for the next 6 or 7 years, damn near every day. Here's Frazier's old friend, Abraham Brown, in the documentary Joe Frazier, When the Smoke Clears.
He always liked to fight. Always liked to fight. He had one pair of boxing gloves. I put on one, he put on another. And we just hit one another, so it was in him.
And fighting would take him on a trajectory from South Carolina to Japan, where he won a gold medal at the 1964 Olympics, to the top of the professional heavyweight division by the late 60s. Along the way, Frazier developed his distinctive style, bending at the waist, ducking under opponents' punches, all the while moving forward, relentlessly forward, looking to throw those punches, fearsome punches, literally.
I was scared as hell to work with Joe Frazier and to get hit by Joe Frazier. I was scared.
That's former heavyweight champion Larry Holmes, who once worked as Frazier's sparring partner. The fear was justified. Frazier broke Holmes' ribs during one sparring session. That was inside the ring. Outside,
Joe was Joe, man, and everybody loved him.
Except, it seemed, Muhammad Ali. The two men couldn't have been more perfect rivals. Frazier, a squat, bull-like fighter with little formal education. Ali, the supremely skilled and athletic boxer with matching verbal agility and wit. Ali used the latter to inflict psychological cuts on Frazier in the early 70s when they faced each other in three defining fights that Ali biographer Thomas Hauser calls the pyramids of boxing.
What Muhammad did was the first time they fought, he labeled Joe and Uncle Tom. The second time, he branded him ignorant. The third time,
you'll also see why I say he's a gorilla. You'll see how ugly he is and how pretty I am.
Joe felt betrayed by Ali.
Betrayed, Hauser says, because Frazier always admired Ali, respected him for refusing military induction, which resulted in Ali's boxing suspension, respected Ali's stance on civil rights issues. Then, to be taunted racially by a fellow black man, Frazier's feelings sometimes bubble over in public. Watching Ali, shaking from Parkinson's syndrome, light the cauldron during the 1996 Olympic opening ceremony, Frazier said to a reporter, "They should have thrown him in.
We was at war. I mean, why should he speak all this terrible thing about me? And then I didn't say anything about him. So whatever came to my mind and my lips, I spit it out."
As time went by and Ali's condition got worse, Frazier's waves of bitterness receded, at least publicly. Earlier this year, Frazier said about Ali, "I forgive him. He's in a bad way." Monday night, Ali said in a statement, "The world has lost a great champion. I will always remember Joe with respect and admiration." Tom Goldman, NPR News.